Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Christmas Eve day, Monday, December the 24th. Hope you made it through yet another weekend snowstorm. We'll certainly have a white Christmas in store for us tomorrow following yesterday's winter storm. Let's hope that's it for a while, though. It's time now for our State Capitol Report. In today's edition, we will talk about a new video competition law that the governor signed on Friday. We'll talk about whether the state legislature will proceed with a bill to try to solve the dispute between cable TV companies and the Big Ten and NFL networks. There was a hearing on a bill to do that last week. We'll also talk some about a hearing that was held on lifting the moratorium on building nuclear power plants in Wisconsin. And we'll look some ahead to the next few weeks. The governor says he fears that next year will be a do-nothing year for the state legislature. We'll wonder if our guest thinks that's possible, too. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions on any of these issues at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Dennis Dreesang, a professor of political science and public affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So on Friday, Governor Doyle signed this cable competition bill, but he apparently changed it a little bit before he signed it. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the changes were primarily to allow for government regulation. Initially, this was called a government deregulation bill, and now, as you point out, it's called a competition bill. But the governor, while agreeing with the major features of the bill, which is to have more competition available in the local communities, did retain the possibility, at least, of a couple of the state agencies having some regulatory authority, primarily to allow for some consumer protection. The bill, as it was passed, kind of took a lot of that regulatory power away. It had resided with local governments.
Yeah. So, what does this bill mean? What will it mean for us in terms of what can come into our homes?
Well, a lot of the licensing, in a sense, of cable companies is really going to move from the local government level to state government, and so cable companies will be able to get franchises on a statewide basis. It's kind of like, in a way, the kind of competition that we see among telephone companies, and that is, it used to be, as we all recall, at least most of us can recall, we used to have just one telephone company that would be available, or one electricity company that would be available. Well, technology is now so that even though we have electricity and telephones, landline telephones come on wires, you can still have more than one carrier use those wires. And essentially, that's the idea, is that with cable TV, that we will have different companies competing.
Yeah, and supposedly that might mean that our rates will go down?
So it's possible that the rates might go down. It's possible that the other issue that you mentioned at the beginning of the hour, the Big Ten Network, NFL Network, would be carried by some cable TV companies other than the satellite companies, and people would be able to choose among cable companies in order to get programming as well.
Mm-hmm. And apparently what the governor did with his partial veto with this bill, though, is he did restore some consumer protections that critics were concerned about.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There was another feature that he also used the line item veto, the partial veto, to restore, at least on a transitional basis, and that is some funding for local public access TV channels.
Yeah. We're going to check the weather and talk more about this issue regarding the NFL Network and the Big Ten Network and the dispute with cable companies. There was a hearing last week in the state legislature on a bill that was seeking to resolve that dispute. And we'll talk some about the governor's partial veto power. There will likely be a referendum question on the April ballot that asks us if we should prohibit or limit the use of what is called the Frankenstein veto. We'll talk a little bit about that as well after this weather break. And whatever else you want to talk about, any unfinished business from the state legislature that you want to talk about, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. We're talking about what the state lawmakers accomplished last week. Maybe you would like to talk with us about what you hope state lawmakers accomplish next year. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up later today, it's at issue between 4 and 6 this afternoon. Because it is Christmas Eve and most of you will probably not be calling into the radio program, Ben Marins is on tape this afternoon, a rebroadcast from earlier this year after 5 o'clock. Ben's guest will talk about how to keep the suburbs from killing your soul. That's coming up after 5 this afternoon. This is our State Capitol Report. Every week at this time, we review the news of the week from the State Capitol, and we look ahead to the week to come. Probably not a lot of legislative action or any action from our state government officials this week, Christmas week, but we'll look ahead to what's on the agenda for the year to come. How's that? Our guest is Dennis Driesing, Professor of Political Science and Public Affairs at UW-Madison. 1-800-642-1234 is our toll-free number. If you'd like to join in with a question about what state lawmakers are up to, what our state government officials are up to, what happened last week, if there's a bill that you're wondering its status, maybe we can help. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We've talked about Governor Doyle signing this cable competition bill on Friday, but didn't talk a lot about this hearing that was held on Thursday. A state legislative committee held a hearing on a bill that would assign an arbitrator to this dispute between cable companies and the NFL Network and the Big Ten Network. Lawmakers trying to step in on this and making sure all of us can see these games, even if we don't have satellite television. Professor Driesing, do you see this this legislation going anywhere?
Well, I think that it indeed has some legs and is likely to go somewhere. Whether or not it would cause for a resolution that people would be happy with is another question. Just because you have arbitration that essentially means that both parties are going to get to the table, the arbitrator makes a decision, and the situation is supposedly resolved. There are sort of a couple of questions. One is, do state governments have the authority to force this kind of arbitration? We're talking about national cable companies that are involved here and regional networks like the Big Ten Network. NFL, of course, is national. The other issue is arbitration sometimes produces a result that you're pleased with, and sometimes it produces a result that you wish the arbitrator had not
ruled
at all.
That's true. I mean, it's the big networks would like to be carried on regular basic cable.
Right.
And the cable companies apparently are saying, no, we want to put you in a special tier, sports tier, and charge extra. And it could be, you know, you might not get the answer or the solution you want.
Exactly.
Because you'd be choosing between those two.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we all ought to remember that not only is this an issue that the state is trying to intervene in that really in many ways is regional or national, but other states are doing the same thing. These same representatives of the NFL Network, for example, were testifying at a hearing that was very similar to it down in Texas, and a number of other states are starting to have a similar approach to it, that is, forcing arbitration. But, boy, the future of this is far from certain.
Yeah. Well, we have a caller, Merritt in Kewaunee, who wants to talk about an issue we did talk about on this program on Friday. Merritt in Kewaunee, go ahead.
I'm sorry I missed that program. Mm-hmm. I just wondered if the bill on corporate disclosure of taxes and public subsidies that they receive to create jobs, et cetera, was ever introduced in the state Senate.
I think I have. If this is the same bill, we talked about Dave Hansen, a Democrat from Green Bay, says he will introduce next year a bill that would require public companies to be more talk about their income and talk about the taxes they pay and talk about whatever tax loopholes they may use to reduce their tax liability in Wisconsin. Do you know much about this one, Professor Driesing?
Not anything more than what you just summarized.
Yeah. So Merritt, it's something that Dave Hansen says he will introduce in January.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. This is something that a lot of people are, I guess I shouldn't say a lot of people, but some people are concerned about, in terms of there are those who say that businesses in Wisconsin, big corporations, are not paying their fair share of corporate income tax. Some big national companies paid zero in Wisconsin last year, according to a report that Dave Hansen based his legislation on. There are others who say, though, if you start cracking down on businesses and make it uncomfortable for them, maybe they won't do business in Wisconsin. Professor Driesing?
That's right, Joy. And this has been an ongoing issue. This is not a new issue. And indeed, there is that concern that if you indeed are able to collect the kinds of taxes that you think that companies owe, rather than letting them find loopholes or move a particular administrative office from one state to another to avoid taxes, that you may end up losing jobs, and that might be worse for the state's economy than losing the taxes.
The other legislative hearing that was held last week was on a bill that would lift the ban on nuclear power plant building in Wisconsin. You want to give us the pros and cons of this one?
Well, the pros, this is an issue that is emerging really across the country, not just in Wisconsin, is really in response to concerns about greenhouse gases and global warming, that nuclear power doesn't really produce the kind of pollutants that coal plants do. The cons is that issue that people really fear, and that is, what do you do with the nuclear waste? And that's an issue that is not fully resolved. The federal government has authority, not the states, over the disposal of nuclear waste, and the federal government stepped in a number of years ago, primarily because of people's concern about the safety issues involving nuclear waste. And there's a big issue right now in Nevada, also in Utah, over the siting of nuclear waste.
Yeah, where do you see this one going?
Well, I think that this one is likely to get very serious consideration. I wouldn't be at all surprised if both houses are able to agree on lifting a moratorium. People really are concerned about the greenhouse gases. Are developments that have occurred since we first had the moratorium dealing with nuclear waste. It's, of course, not certain that the moratorium would be lifted, but I think this is a bill that's going to get very serious consideration.
Yeah. Well, that's some of what the legislature did last week, but maybe we should talk a little bit about what the legislature didn't do, and the governor's comments last week that he is concerned that next year may be a do-nothing year for the state legislature. Do you agree with him or not?
Well, I think that the political logic actually would be that this is going to be a pretty active legislature, and it may be so active that the governor will wish that that the legislature was doing nothing. And what I'm thinking about is the fact that elections are coming up.
Right.
And lots of times legislatures, and this is true of the U.S. Congress as well as state legislatures, see legislation which is introduced primarily, frankly, for campaign purposes, even more than for public policy making or solving some kind of an issue. But I think that's one dynamic that goes against an expectation that this legislature is not really going to be very active. The other is that the other thing that we ought to keep in mind is that the budget bill was passed very, very late, and we've got a lot of legislation that was bottled up in terms of even being able to be considered on the floor because our legislature is set up in a way that our rules are that you first have to deal with the budget, and then you can deal with other issues. So there's really a backlog of a lot of issues that legislators have wanted to have considered, and that's likely to be introduced after the first of the year. There are a whole range of issues there. And in addition, the budget bill itself, being the kind of compromise that it was, included a lot of unresolved issues, issues that people are wishing that they would reconsider. I think that we are very likely to have what is often referred to as a budget repair bill being considered within this next year, in part for purposes of spending and taxing, but also just resolving some issues that were not really fully resolved.
Well, speaking of an issue that was in the budget bill to begin with but taken out, David in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. I think it's kind of silly to be talking about cable TV when the residents of Wisconsin don't have at least a basic health care bill through. I know Representative John Richards from Milwaukee tried to get something through and it was defeated. But I'm looking at the new year with my health care premium equaling my mortgage payment. And one of them's got to go, and it's going to be the health care. So even something like a $10,000 deductible universal health plan.
Yeah. Only a minute before news break, Professor Dries saying health care issues will be on the agenda next year?
Oh, no question about it. There are a core of people in the state Senate that for sure, I mean, they've told us that they are going to reintroduce their proposal, maybe in a somewhat revised form. This is an issue that the governor has somewhat addressed, but really just about everybody recognizes that the health care issue is not fully resolved.
Dennis Dreesing, our guest, a professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison, talking with us about what our state lawmakers and government officials were up to in the past week and what they will likely be doing in the weeks to come. It's our State Capitol Report. We do this every Monday at 7 o'clock, holiday or not. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, has the holiday off, but we are happy that Dennis Dreesing, who follows state politics quite closely, was able to join us for this edition of the State Capitol Report. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome you to join in, too. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Monday, December the 24th. Merry Christmas Eve. This is our State Capitol Report when we review the top stories in state politics from the previous week and look ahead to the weeks to come. Our guest this hour is Dennis Dreesing, professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison. He's in today for Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, who typically joins us for the State Capitol Report. And we welcome you to join us, too, with your thoughts and questions about what our state lawmakers and public policymakers and government officials have been up to in the past week and what you want them to be working on in the next year. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Governor Doyle, in an interview last week, said that he's afraid the legislature is in danger of doing nothing of substance in 2008. His comments came after the legislature failed to pass a smoking ban or require insurance coverage of autism, as Governor Doyle had urged this year. And lawmakers also didn't act on campaign finance reform. All three issues are expected to be back next year. The legislature spent most of the year deadlocked over the state budget, which passed nearly 4 months late. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker of Schofield is more optimistic than Doyle. He says he expects the Democratic-controlled Senate and Republican-led Assembly to pass some substantial bills next year. But some of Decker's top priorities, including universal health care, appear to be doomed in the Assembly. And I'm wondering, Professor Driesing, if you agree with that analysis, that universal health care or this Healthy Wisconsin proposal, which we were talking about just before the news time, could pass the Senate, but would have a hard time passing the Assembly.
Well, I think the Assembly leadership has made it quite clear that unless there are some reforms within the Healthy Wisconsin proposal as it was passed by the Senate in the last term, it will not pass the Assembly. So I think that's fairly clear. I think they've got the votes to deliver on that particular promise or threat. And the question is going to be whether or not there will be any success at reaching a compromise that both Republicans in the Assembly leadership as well as the Democrats can agree to.
Yeah. Do you see any prospect whatsoever of the Republican-led Assembly agreeing to increasing payroll taxes?
Well, I think that what has to happen are probably two things. One is a recognition that businesses can, under a particular proposal that's been made, actually come out ahead, even though there is what is labeled as a payroll tax, and they do have this real hardcore contingent in the Republican Assembly that says anything that's called a tax, they're not going to support. So maybe if they could relabel that, they can get away with it. But it's The payroll tax for most businesses actually would be less than what they're currently paying or would be paying over the next few years for health care costs for their employees. And so if you can sort of do the math and convince employers, and indeed a number of employers are in favor of the state moving ahead in the direction that the Democrats want. The other part of it is this health savings account kind of approach that is favored by the Republicans. And the Democrats, boy, you just say health savings account, and right away they dig in their heels. And it's conceivable that there's a possibility that if the Democrats can see through the issue of health savings account, call it something else if you wish, and Republicans can see through the issue of payroll tax, call it something else, that there may be a basis there for compromise.
Yeah. Let me go to a caller on this topic. Steve in Oconomowoc. Hi.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. Professor, I had a question for you. You had made a comment earlier that the health insurance premiums that you're actually are paying are at or about the taxes that you're currently paying for your home. Is that correct?
I think the caller said that.
The caller had said that. Right. Oh, I thought the professor had said that. Okay.
That his premiums were approaching or exceeding the amount he is paying in taxes. So anyway, okay. Steve, you don't think that that's possible?
Well, depending on what it is he has, but I do have another question for the professor. I am a small business owner. We have a business of about 75 employees. We have gone through the math, and we have determined that the payroll tax is more cumbersome than what we are currently paying right now. And we've also asked other clients that we work with that are parts of some of the Wisconsin and Manufacturing Commerce and the Independent Business Association, and the math just doesn't work out on this thing. The payroll tax does exceed, in many, many cases, the actual cost of what the program is that Healthy Wisconsin is proposing. So I guess I seriously question and challenge you on what numbers you're coming up with and how many specific businesses have actually been surveyed, because if you ask the business people, they'll tell you flat out it's more than what they're paying in health insurance premiums.
Well, it's not true for all businesses, but you're right. There is a concern about the math working against the businesses, and What the state of Wisconsin can do is take a look at what's really on the verge of getting passed in California, what's happened in Vermont, what's happened in Massachusetts. We don't have to really reinvent wheels here. There are the bases of compromises in those states, and compromises there that the business community, as well as the labor unions, as well as Joe Sixpack, have found to be at least worth trying out. There's always the issue of, you know, you get going on something and make amendments as you go along. That happens with a lot of our legislation if the projections don't work out exactly as anticipated. But I think the point is that people recognize that the healthcare system is really in really dire need of some repair and revamping in this country. And nothing's happening at the national level, so states are really moving ahead on this.
Thanks, Steve, for the call. You want to talk a little bit about the proposed smoking ban, the prohibiting smoking in all workplaces in Wisconsin, including restaurants and taverns, and the fact that that did not pass the legislature this year and will be back on the agenda next year. However, a lot of people are saying that opponents of the tavern prohibition want to exempt taverns at least for a while. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think indeed it's going to be back on the agenda, and the legislature is going to be dealing with it. My guess is that something is going to pass. It may be with the exemption for taverns. The problem that you get into there is, well, how do you define a tavern? We've been through that before. You base it on sales, you base it on square footage or whatever. Wisconsin is clearly not a leader in this area. We've got 19 states, including Illinois and Minnesota, who have already passed statewide bans. And my guess is that it's going to be coming eventually in this state, maybe not next year, including all public places. Maybe there will be that exemption. It really depends a lot on how intense the lobbying is going to be by the Tavern League. And when this is being considered in a campaign year, I think that changes the calculus from years when you wouldn't have campaigns and campaign contributions being a factor.
Well, speaking of which, what about the campaign finance reform legislation that so many people say we need but keeps getting put off?
Well, probably get put off again. Probably get put off again in terms of actually passing. The closest I think that we have an issue coming to a consensus where it might pass would be dealing with the election of judges and having full public financing for that. There is a special concern that judges are not like other elected officials. They don't serve constituents. They have a different role in our governance and in providing justice in an impartial way. And when we get campaign contributions coming from certain interest groups for judges that really, on the basis of appearance, if not substance, causes a concern. So there's a possibility that we'll get something like that passed, but I wish I could be more optimistic about meaningful reform for campaign finance generally.
Our guest is Dennis Driesing, a professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison. He's joining us on this holiday edition of the State Capitol Report. Every week at this time, we talk about the biggest stories in state politics from the previous week and look ahead. And we are looking ahead to what our legislature might be up to in 2008. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your questions for our guest. What do you want the legislature to be up to in 2008? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, December the 24th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll talk about gifts of gratitude and wonder if you're grateful for anything. What are you grateful for? We'll talk about that coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking state politics during this edition of the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network, talking with Dennis Driesing, a professor of political science at UW-Madison. Other news from the state capitol last week is that Governor Doyle, in an interview, says he still has not decided on whether he will seek a third term as governor coming up in about 3 years. But he told the Associated Press that he's going to continue aggressively raising money just in case he does go for it. He told another reporter that the chances are a lot less than 100% that he would seek a third term. What do you think, Professor Driesing? You want to put some odds on this?
Well, a lot less than 100% is a pretty imprecise number.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would tackle that one. I think that regardless of, and it may very genuinely be that Governor Doyle has not made a decision one way or another, but one would think that a smart strategy would be to not announce relatively early on in a term that you're not going to run for re-election. You immediately become a lame duck, and there are a lot of disadvantages in terms of negotiating and leveraging mm-hmm. when you're considered to be a lame duck. So I think it's a wise move on his part, just in terms of his being able to function and be in a good negotiating position.
Yeah. The governor also in these interviews, end-of-the-year interviews apparently, was asked about the Frankenstein veto, the proposed constitutional amendment that will likely be on the ballot in April, asking voters if we should limit the governor's veto powers, partial veto powers, and say that he cannot strike out individual words in different sentences and then stitch together a different sentence altogether from that. The governor says he hasn't decided yet whether he will actively campaign against that. Or for it, I guess. But he seems to think that that Frankenstein veto is a helpful thing for a governor to have, Professor Driesing.
Well, I think most people who would be in a governor's position would like to have as much power as they possibly can. And it's interesting. Generally, the voters of Wisconsin sort of take a look at the word veto and how it's used by the governor, and this is not just Governor Doyle, but governors plural, and it's sort of, well, that's not exactly what a veto means in terms of the dictionary or one's expectation, that it has been used very creatively. Governor Lucey was really the first to saw the possibility of using the partial veto to be more creative rather than striking down a particular idea. And we had the Vanna White Amendment, as it's referred to, mm-hmm. during Tommy Thompson's years. As popular as he was, people did not like the idea of his creative use of the veto. People have reacted against Governor Doyle's use of it. And I think regardless of whether or not Governor Doyle campaigns on this particular issue, this is going to be a constitutional amendment. The governor will not play any formal role. He will not be able to veto the veto bill.
Right.
So it's really going to be up to the people, and I think the best bets are going to be for passage of the amendment. I should point out that this particular amendment is not going to entirely keep governors from being creative in using the veto. All you have to do is think of a sentence with the word N-O-T in it.
Just cross that out.
And you can really, and you can do that with, I mean, that's just a very simple example. And you can think of all sorts of sentences where you can cross out a clause, cross out a few words, and really change the meaning entirely from what the legislature had intended or even deliberated on.
Yeah. In any case, the assembly has to do a little tweaking to just some minor procedural vote on this, and it's likely we will be faced with that question on the ballot in April, right?
Well, then a question, Joy, is going to be whether or not it'll be scheduled for April or November.
Okay.
That's not entirely clear, and sometimes, as we know with the constitutional amendment on banning gay marriages and civil unions, the timing of a constitutional amendment on the ballot is done strategically to help get certain constituents mobilized to go out to vote. So it could be that there are strategic considerations for having it in November instead of April.
Let's go back to the phone. Steve in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm also a small businessman in Milwaukee. I have approximately 30 employees, and I make health insurance available to those employees, and I pay about half of the premium. Excuse me. I'm concerned that this Healthy Wisconsin proposal hasn't been hasn't received enough public discussion about all the potential problems associated with it. And in my particular case, I agree with a previous caller that the cost to me would be prohibitive under this Healthy Wisconsin plan. Mm-hmm. And then further, most of my competition comes from Northern Illinois, and I would be concerned about the idea that people living in Wisconsin and living in southern Wisconsin and commuting to Illinois for their employment would actually be receiving health insurance benefits from employers like myself, and I'd actually wind up paying the insurance premiums for my competitors.
I'm not sure I followed that. But anyway, Steve, I also know that the lawmakers are saying there would be some tweaking to this proposal, including, I think Russ Decker said, to try to make sure that this does not burden small businesses. Professor Driesing?
Well, I think that there are two issues that Steve has raised. One is whether or not states ought to be doing this, or whether or not, because of the issue of people living one place, working someplace else, it ought to be a national issue. And mm-hmm. Again, the reason why states are pioneering and trying to fix this problem is because there isn't any action going on at the federal government. That mm-hmm. might change. The other issue is indeed the tweaking. Mm-hmm. A lot of that tweaking really is focused on this issue of the payroll tax. The proposals that have passed in Vermont and Massachusetts that is about to pass apparently in California do not have the level of payroll tax. It's a lot less, about half of what's been talked about in terms of the Healthy Wisconsin proposal. So I would suspect that we're going to see that in the revisions that are going to be made to that proposal, one thing that will happen is that the level of the payroll tax will go down.
People certainly want to talk about this issue, though. Barbara in Appleton, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. What I would like to see the legislature really take up seriously is election reform. I think this is an overreaching problem that really touches on all the things that we have discussed. And the two things I would like to see happen are complete public financing. I know we're working on something, but it's just kind of nibbling around the edges, which hasn't been too effective. And the other one I would like to see put in are term limits on office. I know that's maybe reaching for pie in the sky, but I don't see a lot of this other stuff being resolved until we really get down to our election reform.
All right, thanks very much. Well, you talked a little bit about how you were doubtful of complete public financing would come about, but maybe with the Supreme Court races, it's possible, Professor Driesing?
I think that's the area where we're most likely to reach a consensus on in the legislature. I think that there's a general concern about campaign finance and the effects of contributions, where they're coming from, the effects of the cost of campaigning, particularly the cost of advertising on television. But there's not really the kind of consensus that is likely to lead to legislation on exactly what to do about it. There are models, as people may know. Arizona and Maine come to mind, where we've had several years now where they've had complete public financing. They've addressed some of the issues of what do you do when somebody who's not a part of your opponent's campaign, but they're an independent group, they start running ads. They've thought through that, so there are models. It's not something we have to invent entirely.
And nobody's pushing term limits, or are they?
Nobody's pushing term limits that I know of, and in fact, it ought to be known that the states that have had term limits are becoming fewer and fewer in number. There have been a number of states that had term limits, and their experience with it has not been great, and so they have really repealed those laws.
And we did, there was originally going to be a campaign finance reform hearing scheduled for the day after Christmas, but we checked into it, and it's been postponed until January 10th, but that's still subject to change. So there will be some sort of campaign finance reform legislative hearing coming up soon, and we'll keep everyone posted on what happens there. Thanks very much, Dennis Dreesing, for being with us.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Dennis Dreesing, Professor of Political Science and Public Affairs at UW-Madison, our guest today for this edition of the State Capitol Report. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.